This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Lin Mark. It is now just gone past 7:36 in the morning. It's Monday, the 4th of January. And in about half an hour, we're going to have The Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking to Dr. Bridget Welsh and Jahaba Sadiq. Of course, Dr. Bridget Welsh is the Honorary Research Associate at the Nottingham University of Malaysia, while Jahaba is the Editor-in-Chief of the Malaysian Insight. Now, we're going to kickstart the series of Breakfast Grill conversations about Malaysian politics and what can we expect in 2021. Because we do know the pandemic and the economic crisis that followed in 2020 was pretty drastic, was pretty bad for most of us. And Malaysians also spent the past 12 months on a political seesaw that saw a change of government and this almost never-ending elite power wrangling. So the question is, what will 2021 look like, and can we expect the 15 general elections? Big questions there, right? We are also running a poll this morning asking you, should GE15 be held this year? And tell us why.
Yes, so these are the things that you have to look forward to. That's happening later on the Breakfast Grill after the 8 o'clock news. But in the meantime, we are turning our attention to the global automotive industry, which has come to a staggering halt due to the pandemic, resulting in widespread plant closures as well as job losses. Now, looking ahead, the Economist Intelligence Unit of the EIU predicts that the sector will see double-digit growth this year. But of course, the question is, will it be sufficient to make up for some of the losses that were seen in 2020.
So for more insights on this, we are speaking to Aroshi Kotecha, the research analyst at the EIU. Good morning. Now, how has COVID-19 affected the landscape of the global automotive sector?
Right. The pandemic completely upended the global automotive sector. Manufacturing plants were shut in every major vehicle producing country for about 2 months on average, first starting in China in January and then ending in most other countries in May. So the Economist Intelligence Unit estimates that total vehicle production this year is about 20% lower than in 2019. And in terms of sales, COVID-19 hit the market in two ways. One was, of course, directly through lockdowns when dealerships were shut and public movement was restricted. The second way was the hit to disposable income, savings, and a drop in sentiment after lockdowns were lifted. So our thinking is that global commercial vehicle sales declined by 16% and passenger car sales contracted by 18% in 2020.
So, Aroshi, in your report, only four countries will see annual sales return to 2019 levels, namely China, Turkey, Taiwan, as well as Ukraine. And this is generally due to the low base effect. When will the rest of the global auto industry see recoveries to pre-pandemic levels?
So that really differs from country to country. But our forecast is that the fastest recoveries in 2022 will be Germany, France, Russia, because these markets are relatively more mature. That's why they are less volatile. But of course, until 2021, they will have support in terms of large fiscal incentives, higher discounts, low interest rates, which in Europe can possibly last even beyond 2021, of course. Next, we expect India to recover in 2023. And then the US, Japan, Brazil, Italy, Spain, the UK. These kinds of markets will take time beyond 2024. The reasons why we think it'll take this long is different for every market. For example, in the US, which is the second largest market, the car sales have been in decline for at least half a decade in favor of SUVs. So it is a long-term trend and we don't expect them to ever recover. In Japan as well, you know, the reason is its structural population growth is very subdued. Brazil as well, the market was supported by auto loans and there was some bad investment as a result, some bad loans. We don't expect that to pick up again. And in the UK, Italy and Spain, the UK, of course, because of lower confidence after Brexit, and Italy and Spain also primarily because of how badly they've taken a hit during the pandemic. And we expect their public finances to take some more time to get back into balance compared to the rest of the world.
Now, one of the trends highlighted in your report is on electric vehicles, and their sales are expected to rocket post-pandemic. But what's driving this surge?
Absolutely. The primary reason is generous government incentives, particularly in Europe, but also enforcement of stricter emissions targets and the launch of new EV models. And EV makers will also venture into new markets, especially Chinese companies going into Europe. So on the whole, we expect global EV sales will jump by 37% in 2021 to 3.4 million units from this year. And because of what I said about the situation in Europe, we expect Europe's share to jump to 33% of the entire EV pie in 2021 from 25%. And this will cut into China's share, which will reduce from 52% to 45%. So in effect, these two will be the biggest EV markets in the world. And in Europe, EV makers will also face new fines and costs because emissions targets will take full effect in January 2021. So they will have to ensure that their entire fleet reports average carbon emissions below 9,500 grams per 100 kilometers. And in China, there's a new development plan which says that new energy vehicles, which China abbreviates as NEVs, should account for 20% of each manufacturer's total car sales by 2025. This is four times the current share, which is estimated at about 5%. And to kickstart this, the government has a range of plans in 2021. This excludes at least 80% of cars used in public areas to be EVs. So just this should lead to a surge in EV sales next year, at a time when China is cutting its subsidies by 20% in 2021.
So when do you see EVs taking off in the Southeast Asian region in particular?
So one bit of encouraging news is that all Southeast Asian markets that we cover either have a plan to promote manufacturing and EV sales or are formulating one. But the biggest hindrance to spurting EV sales like we have seen in the EU and in China is relatively lower income across Southeast Asia and also a lack of large-scale charging infrastructure. There are no direct fiscal incentives that reduce EV prices for customers either. And at the moment, government support is geared only towards reducing other charges related to buying EVs, such as taxes, registration fees, tariffs, and even production of EVs, but not direct purchase. So local production itself will not begin until 2022 and 23 in the largest auto producers in Southeast Asia, Indonesia, and Thailand. So I would say that EVs will really take off in Southeast Asia after 2030. Because by this time, global battery prices will also fall enough for EVs to reach price parity with conventional cars.
So what has been the impact of the US-China trade war on the auto industry? And what are players bracing for in light of the incoming Biden administration?
Right. So primarily, automotive trade between the two countries has fallen drastically. We expect the US-China rivalry to continue casting a shadow over the rest of the automotive industry in 2021. The biggest impact of the trade war has been to reduce China's role in the global supply chain. Joe Biden is prepared to impose heavy tariffs on auto parts imported from China, which will, of course, increase input costs for US-based automakers to encourage them to source local supplies. But the US will not be alone in raising barriers against China. Australia, which is a major market for Chinese car imports, will also be managing a very bitter trade pact in 2021, despite the RCEP. Tensions are also rising between India and China, which could affect Chinese automakers who have been very keen to either enter or expand in the Indian market. Lastly, the US and China will also have a spat over technology, which includes high-tech components which are necessary for the development of EVs and autonomous vehicles. And ultimately, our expectation is that sanctions and investment restrictions might also force third-party countries to choose between the two rivals.
Thank you for your time. That was Aroshi Kotecha, research analyst at the EIU, giving us an outlook on the global auto industry, which was hurt initially by the COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of supply chain disruptions and, of course, a lack of consumer confidence in terms of buying cars. But I think we're beginning to see the first shoots of recovery even here in Malaysia.
We are indeed. And, you know, Arushi made a couple of interesting points, particularly when it came to where she expects the drivers for this surge in EV sales and electric vehicles. And she pointed out the fact that she expects to see Chinese companies going into Europe, and she expects global EV sales to jump 37% on year to 3.4 million units. That's pretty astronomical considering where we were just a few years ago. But nevertheless, she also made the point that a lot of the emissions targets are expected to take full effect in Europe in January of this year. So basically now. So how that's going to affect EV makers in Europe is still in question.
Yeah, and even bringing this conversation back home, Malaysia, we aim to become a marketing hub for EV cars by 2013. And this is under the National Electric Mobility Blueprint. We target 100,000 electric cars, 125,000 charging stations and 2,000 buses and 100,000 motorbikes on the road by then. But of course, let's see whether any of this does happen. I think because the national auto policy, in fact, looking at just traditional cars, conventional cars, I think some market players were slightly disappointed. But up next, we'll be speaking to Chan Soon Seng, CEO of Teach for Malaysia, on starting the new school year during a pandemic. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.